Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on March 20th, 2015, first day of spring. Voted Best Local Radio Show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we're definitely looking for a repeat. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help their businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit their website at www.manhattanbeachchamber.com. Beach Chamber, all one word, manhattanbeachchamber.com, or call 310-545-5313. That's 310-545-5313. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Joe. How are you?
Great. Wonderful. We've been doing so well. Technically, I'm really happy.
I know. It's so exciting.
And, Jackie, it's the first day of spring.
I know. Spring has sprung.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Not technically. Technically, 3:45 today.
Oh, really?
3:45. Yes. It's not quite yet. It's about to spring.
Okay. Well, we can still enjoy a little bit of winter.
Well, spring is exciting for a number of reasons, but today we got a fun one.
It's time for spring cleaning, isn't it?
That's right.
And spring design.
Yes. Refreshing. It's time to refresh things.
Who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Noel Parks of Noel Interiors and Farnaz Reniker of Hermosa Design. Noel Parks is one of Manhattan Beach's most prominent interior designers and heads one of the city's most successful and versatile full-service design firms. Specializing in custom residential homes, Noel Interiors delivers an unrestrained range of style, be it modern, Cape Cod, or California ranch. Established in 2005, Noel Interiors has accomplished unprecedented design on each project, consistently interweaving the philosophy of beauty meets function. Noel provides unique services and products for each client. Her expertise in space planning and color coordinating gives each client endless opportunities with their new construction project or interior design makeover. Dunn Edwards Paints currently features Noel as their designer on selecting color and choosing the right gloss. In addition, her work has appeared in primetime TV show Private Practice. On March 7th, 2015, Farnaz and Steve Reniker, longtime Hermosa Beach residents, introduced their new design shop and showroom in the up-and-coming arts district of Hermosa Beach, just steps from the Strand. Hermosa Design's concept and unique style is inspired by the owner's active beach lifestyle and architecture and design backgrounds. Inside the design shop, you'll find a curated selection of beautiful and functional furniture, home accessories, and beach lifestyle products, many which are Scandinavian, Italian, or American brands committed to quality and sustainability. The space doubles as a gallery to host the work of local arts and artisans and as a venue to invite the public in for events where proceeds will be donated to the Hermosa Beach Art Education Fund. Hermosa Design is a natural extension of the Reniker's design build company, Studio Argente, whose unique interior spaces in the Los Angeles area have been featured in national design magazines. Now, this morning, as we mentioned earlier, our design experts are going to give us a few tips on freshening up for the spring and updating the look of your home for the upcoming season. Noel Farnaz, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we're really excited about this, not because I know a lot about design, but because we can learn, I can learn, and the audience can learn. Let's start with you, Farnaz, a new location in Hermosa. Tell us a little bit about your design philosophy. You and Steve, where did you get your philosophy for design?
Well, so I am not a Southern California native. I'm from the East Coast. So my training really comes from more the traditional architectural training through education and experience. Steve is a Southern California native. So he's just been living this lifestyle ever since he could remember. So what's happened is over the years, we've sort of developed our own ideas about what is beautiful and what is practical and it's what's really stylish. So my experience comes really from a lot of the travel that I've done, and I've been to a lot of Scandinavian countries many, many times, and I just love their aesthetic. Everything is really clean and functional and high quality and beautiful, and I think that that style of living really does work very well in the South Bay, especially the coastal areas where we just don't have a lot of space.
What is it about the Scandinavian design ethic, do you think, that uniquely identifies it? It's so easily identified.
I think that it's really focused on purity, functionalism, and quality. So we are usually looking at very simple materials like wood or steel or fabric, and the lines are very clean, and a lot of times the function really informs the look of the object. So it's not a lot of frills, a lot of accessories. It's just really the form of the object is very pure. And I think that's what's really appealing about it. And, of course, the craftsmanship is just very unique. I was at an event last night for Carl Hansen & Son. They are a Danish furniture manufacturing company, and they had one of their craftsmen building a chair right in front of us, and he was just building the seat out of the rope, and just watching him weave it over and over and over again, it was just mesmerizing. It was amazing.
Dare I mention the word, the I word, I'm talking about IKEA, that is the sort of the essence of Scandinavian design in the public consciousness. They have been tremendously successful in the American market. And do you think it's primarily because people in the American market sort of gravitate towards that design ethic?
I think, yes. I mean, I think that's part of it. I think the other reasons that IKEA is so successful, as I see with my clients, is that they make good design accessible to everyone. Their price point is very low, but their quality is actually pretty high for the price that you're getting. So I think that's very attractive to a lot of people, and I think that the way that they display their pieces in their stores and in their showrooms, they really kind of help people who are maybe not used to that style of furniture and furnishings really be able to envision what they could do with those products. And I think that the other thing is when we are doing residential or even commercial renovation work, it takes a long time to have cabinets and closets and kitchens custom made. Mm-hmm. And with IKEA, everything is already pre-designed, everything is modular, and it's very easy to work their products into the space you have for a very low price point. I think that's very attractive. It's readily accessible, and I think that's the main thing that they have going for them.
Noelle, I want to ask you the same question because I think it's important for people to start off with that knowledge of your design ethic. How would you describe your design philosophy, Noelle?
Well, similar to Fanaz, I'm also from the East Coast as well. I grew up in Northern Virginia, and my dad was a builder. So as a really young girl, I grew up on the job sites. So sort of seeing that the house from the studs up and just being interested in design from the very beginning. So, you know, I went to university for interior design, and the day after I graduated, I knew I wanted to move to California. So I kind of enjoyed the architecture side is what inspired me first, ironically. So I got a job in Manhattan Beach working with a local architect and trained under him for 3.5 years before I started my own design company. And I really blossomed, I think, with that foundation from the architect into making me a better designer than I am today, and understanding construction and what people want and really being able to make it work. So, yeah, we've done so many homes here that really cater to the local community. I generally lean towards having a modern interpretation of what the client's taste is. So if they want to have, you know, a beachy home, we sort of bring out the clean and fresh lines, not too many frills, kind of like the Scandinavian aesthetic as well. So it really depends on what style the client's looking for, and then I just weave it to make sure it's in line with the architecture and that it's kind of, you know, new and fresh.
That's a wide variety of experience, especially the construction experience, because that really, I would imagine, helps a great deal to know what's behind the walls, where the studs are, where they could possibly be, and all of that. But how do you, people, when they are looking to design an interior, often have very strong ideas about what they want. I mean, they built the home, or do you participate at the architectural design time, or is it after the home is built?
I do both. When I get to focus on new construction homes, of course, it starts with the architect in the beginning. I really enjoy that a lot, because then we can kind of lay out the home in conjunction with what the overall outcome the client wants, whether it be like the furniture layout or a certain scheme or a beautiful light fixture they want to work around. So you kind of do a reverse design when you're coming into a home to help do a remodel or just do the furniture in someone's room. So no project is ever the same. So there's definitely a lot of bending different ways for the, you know, for your clients to give them exactly what they want.
You've been in business for several years here in the South Bay and in Manhattan Beach in particular. What would you say the dominant theme is among all your clients, or is there something that is dominant among many clients?
Well, for the past, I would say, about 3 years now, we've been focusing on this new design called Beach Plantation. I think it's a name that maybe we made up here in the South Bay, but it's been kind of a fun, you know, parallel between the Cape Cod East Coast homes with your beautiful, you know, bright white windows and your, you know, lap siding or your shingle siding. And then we combine that with kind of a Polynesian design. So you've got more of your kind of mahogany accents and warm wood tones and, you know, beachy or almost Hawaiian, you know, feel. So that's been a real prominent design style that we've been doing lately that people really seem to enjoy.
I've seen that. Have you seen that, Jill?
I think I have, actually.
I've seen that, yeah. Let me ask you something, Noelle. Did you do the Colligan's house?
I did not.
Okay, because I saw that featured in South Bay Magazine. They're old friends of ours. And I was looking at it saying, wow, that's, you know, it's exactly what you just described. What you call it, Beach Plantation?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting how we go through periods, you know, for many, many years, everybody was doing the Italian kind of, what would you call it, Italian mission style?
Are you talking more of the Mediterranean look?
Yeah,
we still have that going in Newport Beach and, you know, a little bit here in the South Bay, but we did break away from that, you're right.
I like the lighter Beach Plantation effect. It's very airy.
It's very interesting that we do have a style ethic, and people go to different they go to other people's homes and they see things, and they see homes on the outside and imagine what might be inside. But when they imagine what might be inside, it's really sort of a South Bay ethic for what's inside, and that's very comfortable. I want to say, you know, when I lived on 10th Street in Hermosa, it had to be sand friendly.
right.
Yes. Definitely.
right. So, Farnaz, when you think about what the style is for the South Bay, for Hermosa, sand-friendly, kid-friendly, for a lot of families, young families that are moving in that have children, how does that affect how you help them design an interior?
Well, again, for me, it just always goes back to practicality. So, for example, I would, you know, recommend easy to clean surfaces and, you know, hardwood floors or tile, the right kind of paint finish so you can, you know, spray some cleaner on it and wipe it down. So I think, in terms of the architectural finishes, everything really has to be easily cleanable. Mm. Plus, you know, we do have a lot of moisture. For being a beach community, the air is pretty dry, but there is still that moisture factor, especially
right.
in the winter months.
Right.
So, that's definitely something to consider. But in terms of the furnishings, and I have two small children myself, so I live it every day. I know everything really needs to be a cleanable surface, and it's really important to be able to put things away when you're not using them, because I think most of us have very limited space in the South Bay, especially younger families that are maybe not as affluent as the older generation. So it's really important to put things away and just kind of keep a tidy home.
Now, you spoke about, you know, hardwood floors or tile. Where does carpet fit in, Farnaz? Is that out?
It's not out. I think, what I suggest to a lot of clients, especially ones that have younger children, is you do want that softness, especially in your living areas, where, you know, you want to be able to sit on the floor and play or lay around and lounge around. I always recommend area rugs because you're able to switch them out as styles change, or you're able to get them cleaned. And you're able to kind of define a space within a room by using that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I always recommend, is the area rugs.
Right.
Carpet is nice inside of bedrooms, but I think it has a place. I think, you know, I would limit carpet to bedrooms only if somebody really wanted to have it.
You know, you brought up the moisture at the beach.
Yes.
You know, we learned that the hard way. We bought a home over 25 years ago, and we gutted it and redid it. We have our own architectural aesthetic, and we like metal. We like metal, and I have a lot of metal furniture, reclaimed metal furniture and stuff. And living at the beach, it, it's been just one thing after another. Everything rusts.
Metal, because one of the things that we are focused on at Hermosa Design, one of the product lines that we're focused on is it's called Scar Garden, and it's a Swedish manufacturer of outdoor furniture. So they're specializing in outdoor furniture. And when we started to talk with them about bringing their products into our store, that was a big question. That was a big thing we discussed, is what about the steel, what about the metal components of your furniture? What's going to happen here?
Right.
And it was really educational, because what they explained is that stainless steel, even by itself,
yes.
will corrode over time. So what they do is they take stainless steel and they mechanically powder coat it. And once a metal has been powder coated, then it can withstand any kind of salt and moisture in it.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You see those on the Strand homes as well, on the architectural elements. You know, if they're not copper or they're not powder coated, if they were some kind of aluminum or even stainless steel, you do start to see the corrosion happen over time.
Oh, yeah, everything does. What we've learned in the 25 years we've been here is the your safest bets are galvanized or what's the other one? Galvanized.
Powder coated. Yeah.
Well, no, not powder coated. There's another one. No, powder coating, as long as the coating stays in place, it's great. But the minute you scratch it, it does rust. And we've had that. We bought aluminum outdoor furniture on purpose because we knew that anything steel would be a problem. We bought aluminum frame furniture, but the nuts and bolts were steel, and they rust.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
so the other word you're looking for is anodized aluminum.
Anodized aluminum, exactly. So those are the two things that are almost guaranteed not to rust, almost guaranteed. We have a galvanized railing on our deck, and we actually have some rust spots on it, so I don't know what's going on with that. But galvanized aluminum, but anything else, stainless, rolled, any other kind of steel will rust. And as I said, we've learned it the hard way over the years, yeah. What you were talking about, the powder coating on the steel, as I said, my office, it's all reclaimed old naval furniture. You know, the old steel desks and file cabinets and stuff that they used in the Navy, the chairs and stuff. And when I love the look of the steel, we bought it, and sure enough, it's all rusting. And when I went back to the company, I got it from a couple of pieces from 20 gauge. They said, yeah, we don't make it like that anymore because everybody is having a problem with the rusting. So now they're powder coating everything. And personally, I just don't like the look of it. I'm just not crazy about it. But I like the steel finish. But that doesn't work so good at the beach.
Well, well, you're right about the nuts and bolts. So
yeah.
you can't have dissimilar metals next to each other because that also causes corrosion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is where my architectural background comes in, as it applies to the how the furniture is made and the moisture that we have in the air here. There's a lot to consider, but it's very interesting, and it's all very unique to where we live.
Yeah,
it's unique to where we live, and where we live is such a beautiful place, the South Bay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking about interior design, materials, design ethics. We're talking about anything that that relates to the fit and finish. And if you'd like to discuss this, we'd love to have your comment or question. Just give us a call at 714-242-5288. If you'd like to join the discussion, that's area code 714-242-5288, and you can join our panel. At this time, though, we also like to thank a sponsor. Jackie, who do we want to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PD, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
So, Noelle, we've talked a lot about the elements of design, and so now I would like to talk a little bit about it's spring, and people normally think of springtime as a time to get ready for summer, perhaps to clean the traditional, you know, apocryphal spring cleaning. Do you recommend that for your clients, that they really take a new look at everything that they have in their home and maybe think about spring cleaning?
I guess it depends on what phase you are in with your clients, but you know certainly I think now the time where it's starting to get warmer and we start entertaining more, so I think that's really fun to start thinking about, you know, new gardenware, new outdoor furniture, you know, new entertaining ways, you know, to have parties that you want to share with your guests. So yeah, we've got some outdoor lines that we've got here, and I think that those are kind of fun to share with your clients.
Right.
I'm a big proponent of spring cleaning, Joe.
Okay.
I do it every year. You know, my husband and I take a weekend, and we go from room to room, and we clean out closets and under the beds and shelves and cabinets. And anything that's going to go goes in the garage for now, and then every summer I have a garage sale and get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because I like to get the new stuff. You know, there's new stuff out there.
There is new stuff out there.
Yeah.
Farnaz, there's new stuff out there. And, you know, what would you recommend? What advice would you give to people that are looking to freshen the look of their home? How can they get the most bang for their buck?
I am a big proponent of less is more. So, you know, I think that when you have a lot of clutter and you have a lot of objects all around you, then it's really hard to see what's going on. And I am a big proponent of getting rid of everything. And that doesn't mean throwing it away, but like Jackie is saying, maybe it goes into a container and it goes in the garage and you just don't see it for a couple months. And you focus on just a couple of accent pieces that you can really appreciate because they are there and they're really making a statement on their own. Hmm. And over time, you switch them out with some other stuff. So that's really my design aesthetic, is that I love to have a variety, but not all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you a funny story. And this has happened many times over the years. When my husband and I will be out, we'll buy a piece of something, a new bowl or a vase or something that we both love, you know, an object. And we'll bring it home and we'll move things around and we'll put it someplace. And I'll say, oh, I like it there. And he'll say, well, what about over there? And I'll say, well, no, it looks good there. And then I'll leave the house. And when I come back, it's moved to the other place. I don't say anything. I wait until he leaves the house, and then I move it back to where I want it. And this goes on for several weeks every time we add something new to the house. And eventually, I always win out because I'm more persistent. But this happens every single time. Every single time. You know, somebody gives you a beautiful gift, something, or whether we go out and get it ourselves. Yeah, we do that all the time. We don't say anything to each other. We just quietly keep switching it back and forth.
Nothing to be said.
Yeah.
But I think that's the point, is that, you know, you get to appreciate it in different environments.
Mm-hmm.
And when your environment is always cluttered, it's hard to appreciate the contents that are in there. So that's my biggest advice, is just, you know, clean the clutter and get rid of stuff. And if you don't want to get rid of it permanently, just put it away. Have your container in your garage or wherever you have storage where you keep the things that you don't want to get rid of because they have some sort of either emotional or physical value. But, you know, take turns with your decor.
Mm-hmm.
Everything doesn't have to be out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that's honestly the biggest struggle with clients, where when you're going into a home where they want you to help remodel or just do a few rooms,
mm-hmm.
they just don't want to let go of the items that they've had for a while because they've become practical to them and they're just used to seeing them. So it's sort of a, it's hard because they want you to be able to give them something new, but they're still not willing to let go of what they have. And you have to, it's such an eloquent process to not offend and to also advise properly so that you can give them the outcome that they so desperately want, you know?
You have to be a diplomat is what you're saying. You have to be very diplomatic when you're dealing with that stuff, huh?
Yes,
it's true.
And so Noelle is right, because there are a lot of times they ask you and you're thinking, well, you have to just get rid of everything.
Burn it.
But, you know, of course, you know, it's a very personal process doing any kind of residential work. And like Noelle says, there's a fine line. But I think, you know, the line between practicality and you know, somebody's style, it's just kind of a fine line. So,
okay, I'm going to ask the tough question. I'm going to ask the tough question. How many people, Noelle Farnaz, how many people do you meet that actually have style? It's a hard question. I know. You don't have to give us names.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Jackie. I don't think it's a difficult question for Noelle and I, because we are in the design community and we're active and we have a lot of colleagues and we know a lot of people where this is their profession. So I think that, I mean, I know for myself, I have many people that I respect, and I have mentors, and I have people that I look up to, and I aspire to be able to do things, do business the way that they do as designers. So for me, you know, I can honestly say that I do meet a lot of people with style, but what is interesting for me is that everyone's style is so unique, and it is really inspired by their training, their experiences, and their environment.
Okay.
And I don't know what Noelle says, but
yeah, it's funny. I thought that you were actually asking about our clients, how many clients that we meet that have style.
Well,
and I was going to say that it's so nice because they come to you with, you know, they're desperate because they want to have your style and your professional opinion.
Right.
And that's what becomes such a lovely process when they just let go. And then when you make that nice connection, you know, with them, and then they just trust you and your direction. So when they give us, the floor, you know, we can have 100% to play with, that's when it really gets fun.
Right.
Do they give you free rein, really?
When that process happens, it's really fun, and that it starts the same way kind of with every client, because it's a new relationship. And once that turning point happens with the client and then they just start to trust you, it becomes a really exciting process, and it makes you even a better designer, because you're finding these new things for your client and their style, and you hit their specific needs, and it just starts developing, and then the ball just kind of snowballs. So it's a building process, and it's a relationship, you know. New construction homes, it's a relationship that lasts, you know, a year and a half. And so, yeah, it's fun.
Part of the discussion is always, well, of course, if a client gives you free rein, then they trust you, then it's easier and better. But what if they have bad taste? I think the crux of the question is they can't really evaluate what you're doing because they like the wrong things. Is that...
You know, I've noticed it gets to, there's been a few clients where it gets to, I know you don't really like this, but if I can just put this in this room, I'll make sure that, you know, we do this particular light that you're enforcing for this other, so it becomes a, but if I can just do this one, you know, because they see that you're kind of disappointed, but at the end of the day, you're designing their home that makes them happy, so it becomes a kind of like a relation, like a marriage, where where it becomes a balance, you know, because you want to keep both of each other pleased.
Right.
Well, you know what they're doing, Noelle. When you come over, they're putting the stuff back in place, and then when you leave, they take it out, right? you do realize that's happening. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, ideally, if you're going to build a home, remodel a home, or redecorate a home, or office, or whatever it is, you would find somebody whose style you like. You would find that architect or interior designer, and you say, I love that. And you would hire them to come in and work with you. Do you ever get clients that because everybody has their own specific style, right? You can look at certain buildings and say, oh, that's that architect, or you can look at certain interiors and say, oh, that's this interior designer. Do you ever get clients that they hire you, but not necessarily for your style, and they want you to do things that you're completely opposed to?
No, just because we've gotten, it's kind of nice, and maybe Finas can agree, that we've gotten to a place where we can choose the projects that we work on, because that's really that's the beautiful part, when you can share your design and your knowledge and your experiences with somebody that wants to have that in their home. And so if you've got, you know, conflicting views on what they want their outcome to be, that's just not a good fit, I think, you know. It should be an enjoyable process, and then the outcome should be exactly what both of you want.
Okay.
And I agree with Noelle. I know when I first started my business 8 years ago, if a client asked me, you know, what's your style, I would maybe say, well, I don't really have a specific style. I can kind of do whatever you need. But over the years, I realized I don't really enjoy certain types of styles. I don't really want to be involved. So now, like Noelle is saying, now that we have our businesses are more established, we can recognize up front if it's going to be an enjoyable process or maybe a painful one. We know which ones to avoid.
Yes.
Politely decline.
I'm getting the impression there's a lot of diplomacy here, Jill.
Yes. It does seem that way.
Yes.
Which
is why I could never be in the business.
I won't say anything about that.
All right.
I will say that, you know, some people have specific tastes and they come to you and they say, I want something in that style, and you're able to accommodate them. I'll bet, though, there are others, and as you said, you now have an opportunity to choose the people that you're going to work with in general, and that's wonderful. But we want to know, now, of course, you know, we've talked about good style and bad style, and we've talked about the different elements and even the materials that might be used. What are some of the coming trends that you both see in style and in materials and in, you know, there's the whole smart home concept that's coming into the national consciousness or international consciousness. Let's start with you, Noelle. I'm especially interested in the smart home. So tell us a little bit about that as it relates to interior design.
Sure. Right now we're prepping homes when, you know, they're in the framing stage, and we're putting in essentially new lighting systems.
Mm.
So we do wire the whole home so that you can have lighting controls where you set different moods and themes for the home.
Mm.
And then those controls relate to the electronic window shades and the music.
Mm.
So that's something I'm sure people have been familiar with for, you know, the past 10 years or so, but it's now become even a good price point for clients, and it's almost assumed in every new build, every new home that you get, that's going to be an option for you. So we generally pre-wire, you know, whether we're doing a spec home or a new construction home, for the system. And it's great having the ability to, you know, not want to get out of bed to turn off the lights, you know, because you can just do it from your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Or turn the fire on or turn it off and lower the music for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's definitely, and it's exciting. I think people enjoy being able to have that technology to show it off with their friends when they're entertaining and,
mm-hmm.
and all that.
Mm-hmm. There, and as well for you, Farnaz, if you have some clients that are looking for that smart home aspect, is there anything new and different about designing for a home like that?
Not for me, because I have an extensive commercial background.
Mm.
So in commercial interior architecture, we've been doing that for a really long time.
Mm.
And so now we see that it's coming to the individual and residential projects.
Mm.
So I would just echo everything that Noelle just said about just control, system controls and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, it ties into energy and sustainability as well, because you're able to control where you need power different times of day. And you know, even when you're away from your home, when you're on vacation, you're able to check in, and it's good for security as well. Mm-hmm. You're able to kind of check in and turn lights on and off and that sort of thing. So I think, you know, technology affects design. It affects everything else. It also affects design.
Mm-hmm. At the sort of the extreme end of design, I'm also interested if either of you or both of you have had clients that have said, well, you know, we want security. Everyone wants security, but we want a little bit extra. How about one of those, I guess they call them different things, a panic room. Have you heard about
it? Never come up.
Never come up.
Not for me, no.
A panic room would be a room that you can go into where there are no windows and only one door, and it's very, very, very hard to get to you.
I saw that movie.
Yes.
I saw that movie with Jodie, what's her name?
Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We've got some panic rooms. I've never designed one, but I've been in some houses that have. And
right.
And yeah, it's normally for people that come from an affluent family, or they come from even a military background, and
right.
They're just used to having the security. And so you do a built-in bookcase, or you do it behind a stair, and yep, it's your secret room.
Secret room.
It's a secret room. I like that. Hey, let's talk about lighting. Somebody mentioned lighting a little while ago. Lighting is important. Tell us how important lighting is.
It's everything.
Yeah. The first thing that they taught me in lighting school is lighting the walls and not the floor. And it sort of seems like it's the opposite with all general lighting plans. You know, they all like the floor.
Good point. Yeah, lighting makes a big difference.
Light the walls, not the floor. Is that it?
Yeah. When you think about it in the space, when you're looking at something or an object that glows, that's really what you're looking at, right? You're looking at the pictures on the wall, or you're looking at the element that's being illuminated. And if you just have downlights, you're essentially kind of just highlighting the floor. So you look for those art walls, and, you know, I think take advantage of those opportunities to put your, you know, your wall washers there or your wall sconces there. And I think that's what's the most important. We've got our compliance issues, so, you know, meeting code with the city.
Mm-hmm.
LED lights are what we're putting in mostly now. They last 50 times longer than incandescent cans and 10 times longer than fluorescent, and they can cast a warm white light. It's not exactly like incandescent, but it's as close as we've gotten so far for meeting compliance.
For new technologies, there's nothing compares to LED, and I did want to talk about new technology. And
first we have to thank a sponsor.
Oh, well, before we can talk about technology, we have to talk about a sponsor. Jackie?
The Manhattan Beach 360 events calendar is brought to you by the Strand House. The Strand House offers the quintessential beach dining experience, where the incredible food is as spectacular as the view. The iconic location overlooking the Manhattan Beach Pier provides an exceptional setting for any occasion. Recently named one of Zagat's 30 Under 30, LA's hottest up-and-coming chefs, Chef Greg Hosinski crafts traditional dishes in new and exciting adaptations. The Strand House presents any number of ways to elevate your dining experience. Savor a handcrafted cocktail at the upstairs bar overlooking the Pacific. Join friends around the fire pit and choose from over 40 wines by the glass. Reserve the wine cellar for an intimate gathering or important business dinner. Enjoy lunch, brunch, or dinner in the light-filled dining room, or dine al fresco on one of the patios. You can also attend their unique culinary master series. And in keeping with the treasured beach city tradition, the Strand House also offers dancing Thursday through Saturday nights and Sunday afternoons. That's right, Sundays at the beach are back. For additional information and to make reservations, call 310-545-7470 or visit the website at www.thestrandhousemb.com. The Strand House is located at 117 Manhattan Beach Boulevard in Manhattan Beach.
All right. So, Noelle, you mentioned one of my favorite subjects. The U.S. Navy is currently in a multi-year program of replacing every single light on all their ships with LED lighting. They're quieter. They last, as is, you know, always known, they last 50 times longer than normal incandescent, 10 times longer than fluorescent, and use so much less power. Is that a factor? Do you like to use LEDs a lot, a little? How does that work?
I think what's important is what we've been doing on, you know, our homes here in Manhattan Beach, where you've got your main living area, so you've got your great room, your dining room, and your kitchen. To be compliant, you would have to put fluorescent lights over your kitchen, and then you'd have your incandescent lights in the other areas of the house. So if you have all your lights on at once, you've got sort of a cool blue hue over your kitchen and then a nice warm hue over the rest of the space. And what LED offers is the same color of light throughout the whole space, you know. And LED has been as close to incandescent that we've come up with yet. So incandescent is still a color that I'd prefer to have, you know, when putting makeup on in the mirror and we're accenting your art on the wall. But I think LED comes really close, and that's good.
And it's dimmable, and that's a great thing, because in the previous technology, some fluorescents were able to be dimmable, but it was pretty difficult with most fluorescent fixtures.
Yeah, and there are ways around that, as she was saying, that like in kitchens and bathrooms, you have to have a certain amount of certain things, but you can work around that. You can put your fluorescents under the cabinets, you know, or there's ways to work around that.
Yeah,
right.
But then the LED kind of solves that problem in general, so you don't really have to make those compromises. You can, and the thing with LEDs is that, you know, you have to look at the life cycle of the lamps, and the cost up front is higher, but then the, you know, the maintenance of it is lower. So in the end, if you're looking long term, you've made a great investment. You're getting the return on your investment.
Well,
you're learning a lot, Joe?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. We normally have someone from the chamber join us, and we look forward to that. But until that happens, though, I'd just like to talk about the future of your businesses. Fernanz, your business is the youngest of the two. What do you look for near term, the next year or two, and then long term for the design business in Hermosa Beach?
Well, so we just started Hermosa Design. It is new, but our design build business is old. So it's going to be just a balance of, you know, how much we're trying to do for each business. But with Hermosa Design, we have a lot of exciting opportunities and ideas that we are going to be rolling out in the next year. So one aspect is, well, one thing that I want to talk about is the location of our business, which is in the industrial zone, kind of nestled between, well, not between, but just south of Pier Avenue in Hermosa Beach, that has traditionally been, you know, surfboard shapers and car auto body shops and tradesmen like plumbers and mechanical contractors.
I'm sorry, where is the location?
It's called Cypress Avenue. That's the name of the street.
Right.
And it basically spans from South Park to the community, not the community center, but there's another public building. And it is maybe two blocks of industrial-style buildings. So some of them are more like warehousing and distribution and that sort of thing. So traditionally, this has been a light manufacturing zone.
Right.
And we are in the process of getting the city on board, and the residents are very excited about this, to transform the area into a more arts district. So I think what we're going to see over time is more designers work out of those buildings, and more artisans. We'd love to see, you know, more of the surfboard shapers, of course, will be there, and that's really amazing. So that's something that we are actively trying to pursue. And we'd like to have community events where it's open to the public, and we have families come down for gallery nights. So our space is going to be doubling as a gallery as well, and I think Jackie mentioned that at the beginning. So we'd like to see more community involvement. We want to have more events where it's open to the public, and we have, right now we have a local photographer's work up, and that will be going on through the next month, and then we'll have artists. So this kind of arts-focused activities is a big part of our business that we really want to develop.
Can you give some contact information and maybe your address if you would like the public to come and see it?
Sure. So our address is 618 Cypress Avenue, and the cross street is 6th Street, and we're just west of Valley Drive.
Right.
And we are open every weekday from 10 to 6. So we have our design shop, our warehouse, and our design studio all in one building. And it is open to the public, so anybody can come in.
Mm-hmm.
Our space also supports our online store. And our online store is really just a great place for inspiration and for buying gifts. That's what everybody is telling us. Almost outside of the furniture and the lighting pieces, every accessory, home accessory or personal lifestyle product is really geared towards gift giving. And we actually started a subscription box this week, kind of similar to like a wine club or any other kind of club where you receive packages in the mail. It's a bi-monthly box that you receive. And the idea is that you are upgrading your most functional objects into handcrafted, timeless ones that you will never throw away.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one comes out in April. So we just rolled that out yesterday. So people are still signing up. So that's something that I encourage everybody to look into, just if they're curious. And again, it's every other month because we don't need too many things.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we have a lot of exciting things going on. It's just the beginning for us. And we're just so happy to bring design to this community. And, I mean, it's already here, but to bring a kind of a different perspective of design to this community.
And, Joe, I just wanted to make sure, you do not plan to drill for oil in your property, right?
You know, that was a big, big win for us. Literally, the oil drilling would have been literally next door. Because
across
right
the
next
street.
To the,
my goodness.
Yeah. Right behind.
Literally, next door to us is the city yard where
right.
the drilling would have happened.
Right.
So we are very happy about that. We, you know, we are just over the moon.
Right.
Oh, Joe, I got to tell you, before the show, I mentioned that JB and I went to their launch party
right.
at Hermosa Design a couple of weeks ago. And all the glitterati of the South Bay were there. Everybody was there. It was a great party. I got to meet Kevin Sousa and Michael Collins.
Yes.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah, we're there. That's all everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
Was the election anyway? What Farnaz was saying about their products that they carry in there, and I said this to her that night. My husband and I were looking at them. This is the type of stuff that we used to have to drive up to the West Side to find.
Mm.
You know, and over the years, you know, when JB were out and I were out looking for something, you know, we go up to the West Side because that's where the stores were. Well, now it's here.
Right.
Now we don't have to get on the freeway, and you know how happy that makes me.
That's right. She's a South Bay girl. She doesn't
yep.
want to leave.
That's right.
I mean, I encourage everybody who is listening to just come by sometime and, you know, come with your family, come by yourself, just stop in and just kind of get an idea of what we're doing. And I think that there's something for everybody there. And maybe that doesn't mean that you're going to walk in and buy something, but you will at least have it in the back of your mind. And then when there's a need, then you know where to go.
Absolutely. And as well for you, Noelle, we'd like to know where you see your business going and design in general going for your business in Manhattan Beach.
Well, we opened up the shop last June.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing interior design in the area for much longer, but ever since having the shop, it's like I thought I was living the dream before, and now I really feel it. you know, we're so a part of the community now, and
yeah.
It's so nice to be involved in everything and go to the downtown Manhattan Beach meetings with all the other store owners and really make a plan for what's next for our city and have constant feedback on what the people want and really keeping the charm and what makes us such a unique town. So really having such a strong role in that has just been so incredible and inspiring. So, yeah, we're just going to, you know, continue to, you know, build homes for, you know, the different styles that come and, you know, furnish them and with all the beautiful things that people are looking for.
Where is your shop?
We're located on 815 Manhattan Avenue. So we're right on the corner of 9th and Manhattan Avenue. I would love for anybody to come by. We throw parties every now and then for different things that we're launching. We are the one outdoor store that has outdoor living space with this nice little grassy area. We would love to have people come by and look at our things. And
Do you have a website?
Yeah, our website is www.noelleinteriors.com.
Okay. Noelleinteriors.com. And then, of course, the email address is noelle@noelleinteriors.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. If you can spell Noelle, you're in.
Okay. It's N-O-E-L-L-E.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been fabulous. And Farnaz, yes. What is your website?
Our website is www.hermosa-design.com.
All right. Hermosa dash. Who has hermosadesign.com?
You know, there is no official business that is using it, but somebody does own the domain.
A squatter, yes. That's in our business. There are, you know, obviously, you know, many people that just get a domain and then sit on it.
Oh, I think at one time there was a Hermosa Design on PCH someplace. I think there was, but I don't think that
there was. You're right, Jackie. There was a Hermosa Design Center.
Right.
And they are no longer at that location. I don't even know that they even exist anymore, but
right.
You're right.
Yeah.
You should pursue Hermosa Design. It's without the dash. They might not want
I've
that
been
much.
Told, and I'm in the process.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Yeah, they've got a nice big space down there. Go check it out.
It's been a great, great conversation. I want to thank you both, and I will, Jackie, I will do that.
Yeah, do that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Farnaz of Hermosa Design. Thank you. And thank you, Noelle.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you guys.
It's been a great conversation. I think a lot of people will get a lot out of this, and they have resources now, specific people that, in a sense, you know, that's the whole thing about this. It's in a sense, they might think, well, I've kind of met Noelle. I heard her talk about this and that, and, you know, I kind of know her. And familiarly and similarly with Farnaz, they'll say, I kind of know Farnaz. I heard her speak, and you know, and that's the beauty of this kind of media. We love doing this kind of radio where people can repeat it, they can email it to friends. It's very nice for that purpose. Well, I think that's our show, right, Jackie?
That's right, Joe.
Okay, so without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today for South Bay Interior Design with Noelle Parks of Noelle Interiors and Farnaz Reniker of Hermosa Design. Steve is taking care of the kids. Good job, Steve. And we're very pleased to have you both. And we'll see you again on Tuesday. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. Bye-bye now. Have a great weekend, everybody.